to the newly expanded Get This with Tony Martin and Ed Cavalli.
Yes, listen to this, a brand new studio here.
I sound rich, full of timber.
Now we're going to sound like a proper radio show.
Yeah, I don't know what to do with myself.
Don't worry, there'll be plenty of other stuff. We're finding out what somebody at this show did to disgrace themselves at the big day out.
Is it me?
Disturbing footage coming up. What have you got?
We're going to find out just who what In Excess look like.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Comparisons?
Yes.
Objects?
Maybe.
Okay. What about people who have surgery to make themselves look like a celebrity?
Yep.
That's just wrong.
It's new and it's in.
We're talking about
I want to be involved.
John Cooper Clarke.
JCC.
He's going to be popping in. A lot of people might not know who he is. You will by the end
Pretty
of the
much
show.
Everyone, you reckon, Tony?
That's how seriously we take our music. Australia's snappiest dresser. We're going to meet him. There's more coming up. It's all coming up on Get This, the show the Prime Minister describes as...
pure humbug.
Is that registering, Richard?
It seems to be coming through fine.
Okay, because we're in a brand new studio here at Get This. Myself, Tony Martin. That was Richard Marsden pushing a button or two. And Ed Cavalli.
Hello. Yeah, I don't know if I want the applause every day, Tony.
Really?
It raises expectations.
Fake applause is raising the bar too high on Get This now.
Yeah, just that, you know, that one that we've got, which is just sort of one person clapping, way in the distance. That'll do nicely.
Give us the Sheffield Shield applause if you've got it there.
We got that,
Mr. Marsden.
I've been to a Sheffield Shield game, and this is generous. This is very, very generous.
Have you got it there? Tell you what, we're no longer in the haunted studio.
No.
We're actually next to the haunted studio. We might still be able to trigger the sound. There it is.
In the distance.
Next door. Who's in there now?
I know.
I'm not sure who that is.
Man wearing a visor.
Fool! So welcome aboard, if you're just joining us for the first time. It is our new time slot. We're settling in, I think. And yesterday on the show, a lot of talk about the big day out.
Seems
everybody was there. You were there, Ed?
I was there. Yep. I spoke to someone who wants to do an interview with me next week. They were there. Yeah. They said they saw me earlier on in the day, and I said, "Oh, did you enjoy the concert?" She said, "I'm not really sure. I don't remember it, but my friends told me I had a great time." So that's good news.
And Mr. Marsden,
it was absolutely fantastic. Yeah, saw Peaches, and I mean a whole bunch of people that maybe other people haven't heard of, but Muse, Tool. Great stuff.
No, people have heard of Tool, I think.
Hopefully.
You can't see them on stage. That's the good thing about them.
Right.
All the goths kind of showed up to see Tool.
Okay.
And the lights were black. You couldn't see them.
So you guys aren't going to talk about what happened there?
No. What happened?
You know what happened.
I can tell you this.
Yes.
That at the Lily World, they had a passion contest that got out of hand.
Yeah, I can believe that.
It was wonderful.
Right, I don't know if we were involved in the passion contest.
No, I was watching.
You didn't see the 7:30 report last night?
No.
Have a listen to this.
Well, controversy at this year's Big Day Out, with a man representing Triple M's madcap Get This program, now heard at the new time of 11 till 1, 2 big hours, we take our music seriously, one Richard Marsden leaping on stage, ceremonially folding an Australian flag and inserting it into his own bottom. Sir, do you find this sort of thing acceptable?
No, I don't. I think what they are doing is using this event to make their own political gesture against the Australian flag.
Right, but could this act be construed as a form of tribute to the flag?
No, I don't believe so.
But surely...
This is blatant disrespect to our most important and visible national symbol.
Right.
The excuse offered by the organisers is pure humbug.
Yes,
and the rather patronising comment made by one of the organisers that they could pull the flag out after the concert was over and display it on the way home because by then it would be Australia Day.
Yes, well...
That shows that the organisers had their own politically correct agenda on this.
Right,
and they've been sprung, and I suspect that the great majority of your viewers are as annoyed at this disrespect to our flag as I am.
Yes, but do you think inserting an Australian flag into your own bottom could be seen as an act of extreme patriotism?
Well, that is a matter for individuals.
Is it something you'd ever do yourself?
I'm doing it now.
Right. Mr. Marsden says he'd be prepared to remove the flag, but he's having a bit of trouble.
I'm sure that he wants to do the right thing. You just got to use a bit more muscle.
Of course. Look, I'm sorry, this interview's deteriorating into...
pure humbug.
Mr. Howard, we've got to cross back to the studio. That means you've got just 20 seconds to sneak in one more reference to political correctness. What do you think Mr. Marsland's rectal gesture has achieved?
I think what it's done is to remind these rather foolish people with their agenda.
Yes.
That there's an enormous amount of affection out there for the Australian flag.
Yes, but...
and Australians want the right to fly it whenever they want to without interference from politically correct organisers of entertainment events.
Well done. Mr. Howard, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
We won't be editing this one much.
Pure humbug.
There you go. What were you playing at, Richard? I mean, was that meant to promote our show?
Well, I'm patriotic on the inside and the outside. If you could all be upstanding when I enter the room too.
All right, we've got other things we have to get to the bottom of.
He looked lovely in the wind, I tell you. Just the sight of Richard wandering off to watch Muse with the wind trailing behind him. Attractive.
Yeah.
Just the Southern Cross poking out, you know, giving everyone a wink. Lovely.
Kerry DeCarnow thinks he talks too much to the audience, though, when he's doing his flag act. Look, there's more to get to.
Oh.
Right here on Get This. Oh, that'll be Jet with Rip It Up here at Get This around the nation in the new time slot.
Oh, you finished?
Were you watching Jet?
Yeah, no, I didn't see Jet. I think I was watching Lupe Fiasco.
Oh, how does Lupe go down?
A treat.
Yeah.
An absolute treat. But the guys that were on before him, DJ Sevilla,
yes.
they thought they'd do a nice gesture and give free CDs to the crowd and throw them out, but they were throwing them out four at a time.
Oh, right.
So they just became small plastic head injury machines.
Right.
And this guy, and they were really giving it some. And I was quite tall and I was standing at the front, getting systematically moved back by little taps on the shoulder. Excuse me, I'm shorter than you. Can I stand in front of you? And I said, after a while, I said no. Because I said, look, I'm sorry, you know, I came here, you know, I know that I'm tall. And they're like, can I get on your shoulders? No, because I don't like doing that. In fact, I've gone so far, and you were there, Rich.
Yeah.
Is I've started to throw bottles of water at people sitting on other people's shoulders. Because I think it's unfair.
Right.
Well, do you want to say what we actually... I mean, we also saw something quite unique. I've never seen it at a rock concert before.
Go on.
Someone in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
Being held aloft on someone's shoulders.
Yeah. That would have looked fantastic.
It was actually. It was a good look.
That was a good look.
And could you do like a roll off the stage and be caught by the crowd? Would that be acceptable?
Well, that's what we were predicting, right. We hoped. Yeah. Maybe at some point.
But one guy, they went so far as to hold him up by his feet. So he was a whole person standing on top of the other people.
Oh, that's...
And that's fine if you're riding a bread tray as if it was a boogie board. Like, that's okay. Or an actual boogie board. But... I missed, and I was pretty upset about it. But anyway, the reason I bring up Jet, right?
Yeah.
It's because last night there was one of my flatmates had a friend over.
Oh,
and we were talking about...
One of your new flatmates?
These are my new... I've got three new flatmates.
What happened to that bloke last year?
I love John. Yeah. I do. Like, I wish that I could get him like an outhouse, nudge style, or Kirk Cameron style above the garage, just so he'd come in and
where
complain
is he
about things.
Not living in a dump master.
He got a
singing Nick Lachey songs on his own.
He got a new place, but I haven't spoken to him since I got back because I lost my phone. So when I get it, I'm gonna give him a ring because
right.
I want to know what he's been up to.
Yeah, and what? So the new flatmate's not?
No, they're good. No,
but when
but
you say
he
good,
set the bar so high.
Right, this is the bar based on how much material you'll give for the show. Okay.
Yeah. So I thought I had something from my new housemates.
Yeah,
because I made a joke about one of them when they weren't there. Which is, I've got nothing else. That's all I can do. And they told them before they got home. So the first thing they did when they got home was like, ask me about it. Like, why would I say that?
What was the joke?
I can't say.
What sort of genre?
Lifestyle? Like questioning lifestyle?
Was it something about the car cuisine of yesterday?
A little bit.
Someone frying.
No.
You know, if there was one bit of yesterday's show that we probably don't want to revisit.
Yeah, good sorry. Point.
It's probably that.
But my bad.
But the point I bring it up is that they were asking about musical knowledge and they didn't know who Jet were at all.
Yeah.
Not a clue.
Oh, that's the young people for you, Ed.
And I went back and I said, all right, do you know who, the Rolling Stones are? No. Do you know who Queen are? Big fan.
Right, the Queen or, no, the band.
Yeah. How do you know who Queen are and not Rolling Stone?
And not Jet.
So I made a joke. I was going to make a joke about that, but then I thought,
I can't. Mm. I'm hamstrung, Tone. Mm. I've got nothing.
Were they watching the new Eddie Maguire program last night, Adrian?
Sadly not.
Weren't they?
Is this 1 to 100?
Yeah.
He's Vince McMahon. He's turned into Vince McMahon from the wrestling. It's not enough for him to run the place. He has to be on in prime time.
And there's just a wall of people.
And he's gone the roids, isn't he? Like, he's getting bigger, Vince McMahon style.
It's the Emperor Palpatine's, you know, oh, parliament.
Really?
Really?
In there.
Yeah.
And the questions are baffling. The questions and the... Have a listen to one of the questions from last night and then they give you a multi-choice answer. Have a listen.
Bob, you know you've only got 6 seconds and here's the question. Who hasn't Tom Cruise been married to? A, Heidi Klum. B, Elle Macpherson. C, Jesse Ventura. You got 6 seconds, Mob. Go for it.
I don't think that's been doctored. He wasn't married to Heidi Klum. That's never happened.
No.
So that means he was married to Jesse Ventura. It could have happened.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they were involved for a bit. Got together over their love of Minnesota.
I think that might have been tampered with, that clip.
Are you serious?
It was a list of... It was actually Nicole Kidman, Mimi Rogers...
Oh, really?
..and Melanie Griffith.
So when did they get the big laugh? Who hasn't...
Who hasn't Tom Cruise married? That actually got a big laugh.
Jeez the whiz.
Which Matt wasn't happy about for the editor.
Yeah, he tried to tone it down.
But you see, they're going... The answer's really none of them, isn't
it?
Yeah. He wasn't really married to Nicole
So how much
Kidman?
Money do I win for an answer like that? That's pretty easy.
No idea. Would have had really? To watch a bit more.
How much did you get through?
Oh, just enough so I went, yeah, I can use that on the show tomorrow.
Is it on every night? Is it Eddie every night at 6?
No idea.
He should just replace the news.
I'm over on Foxtel waiting for David Dickinson to say something foolish most nights.
Hey, I tried to buy you a DVD, couldn't find it.
What DVD?
Boys Will Be Girls.
Why would I want that?
Oh, come
that's on.
On
Foxtel.
Is it?
Yeah, that's on. I've got it all. Go across. It's all happening. All right, we've got more to get to. More baffling questions from that Eddie Maguire program.
Jeez.
More startling accounts of Richard Marsden's behaviour at the Big Day Out.
Yeah,
and John Cooper Clark.
And yeah, looking forward to that.
We want people to help us out with plastic surgery tips. Why are we doing that? That sounds like something a normal show would do.
No, we're trying to, you know, trying to level it out. No,
okay, it's all coming up. I'll get this.
Get what you give. I know this one.
That's those the new radicals.
You knew that one.
I'm on a different mic now. We're just testing the studio.
So scary.
It's a scary being in a new studio.
Off air, Tony, you asked, is the tennis still on?
Is it still
showing
on?
Showing an amazing ability to avoid sport. Like no one I've ever known before in my life.
I only needed to know for a joke, but...
go on.
Have you got... Hang on. Firstly, there's been a lot of people calling up about that Eddie Maguire show. Let's hear another one of those baffling questions.
Bob, you know you've only got 6 seconds, and here's the question. Who hasn't Tom Cruise been married to? A, echidna. B, kookaburra. C, platypus. 6 seconds, Bob, it's all yours.
He could have been married to an echidna.
I'd go platypus.
Yeah,
if the contracts were signed correctly. You know, obviously they have to divorce that's 10 years to the day.
That's a very touchy topic. I made just in the States, I made a very kind of offhanded joke about, oh, you know, the contract marriages, blah, blah, blah.
Mm.
Cutlery was put down.
Is
people
right?
sat back from the chair. How dare I insinuate?
But if you'd said Michael Jackson, that would have been fine.
That would have been lofted on the shoulders, marched down the main street.
He did divorce Nicole Kidman 10 years to the day.
Yeah.
And that's not remotely suspicious to anybody.
No.
Okay.
So what's libelous? Me saying it's definitely an arrangement?
I think from where that announcement goes, and Ed Cavalli, pretty much anything after that is libelous, technically.
Good times. What was your joke about the tennis?
Well, okay. Do you want me to do it
now?
All right. Well, I just need to set up, because are we going to do that other segment, Richard, your segment, if you got the opener?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go upskirting with Richard Marsden.
People love it.
Gotta do it. People want the segment. They go, we love the
you
intro.
You know what I like? I'd like the idea of not the camera on the shoe, but Marsland lying on his back on one of those things that they use to get underneath cars when you go to get your car fixed.
Yeah.
Marsland just like cruising along kind of shopping malls and on David Jones on his back.
Like the dude in The Big Lebowski just underneath all those people's skirts.
This is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Wonderful. Great idea.
It's his favourite film.
I know it is.
Big Lebowski. It is a very good one.
Do you want a boing and a laugh?
You're going to need it.
Okay.
Are they separated, those two? Or are they still together?
Together.
Yeah, good.
So did you guys go to the tennis on the weekend?
Yes.
Apparently 3 Scotsmen were up kilted. That's what I heard. That's what I heard.
It was worth it. Why does the tennis have to be on, Tone? That joke's always good. That joke's good all year round.
That's what that is.
You'll hear it in the second hour on Thursday. We like to rotate in our new format.
Can you do me a favour? Can you have another culture of another skirted culture for tomorrow? The Fijians, they love a skirt.
What's that called?
The song, Rich?
You're talking about the skirt?
The skirt they wear, what's it called?
Yeah, I know the Hawaiians wear hula skirts, and it's part of that whole island.
It's still got the word skirt.
Hang on, part of that whole island what, Rich?
Well, it's a whole part of that whole bunch of islands around that area, in the Pacific Rim.
Yeah.
What do you want?
Marsden's Pacific Rim.
No.
Good segment.
There's a segment.
Good segment.
Is the geography correct on that? Probably not.
I'm willing to go with it.
I have no idea.
Okay, so Marsden doesn't know the geography talk. I don't know anything about sport, and you're sitting there going, that thing that you slide under when you get your car. Do you have a license?
Welcome to Blokespot. It's expired, thank you.
But you have driven at some point?
Yeah, and you know, in the license, I realised what a different person I am now. Because in my old license photo, I've got a flat top.
Oh,
one
yeah.
of those coral necklaces.
Oh, wow, you look like a member of Tony.
Nicky thinks that's hilarious.
Colour me bad.
You see, I look like a member of Tony. They don't get enough airplay. All right, Tone. Right, good. I've got to go and Google.
You've got to check your MySpace, so we need to go to an ad break.
463 friends.
Get this.
If it was 100 years old and it was falling to pieces, then no one would care that much. They'd just come and replace it. This isn't 100 years old. This is about 12 months old. And it's falling to pieces.
Brought to you by As Yet Nobody.
I've heard that wrong. Maybe I've
Microsoft
heard that wrong.
Released a Fister yet the other day, or soon.
They did not.
They did so.
Is this a tribute to Otto Fister?
I think so.
Coach of Togo?
Yeah, well, he's been sacked.
Sacked?
Yeah, he got sacked.
Wasn't he getting an extension?
Not so good anymore.
One more shot?
Oh, well. So Fister's looking for work.
Togo to go. Imagine the headline.
Great. Works.
Gone straight to the
should
headline.
Write copy.
Yeah.
You should.
You could have written Lachey Breaking Heart.
Yeah.
Perfect.
That's Rich true. Is wearing a Public Enemy t-shirt
sure.
today.
Right on.
What's that about?
Well, I used to think they were cool, but now Flavor Flav's in that show Flavor of Love.
Yeah, it's pretty poor. It's basically which one of these 50 prostitutes will pretend to be on with Flavor till the show's finished.
Just let himself go. Once, after Bridget Nielsen, things just went wrong.
Really, did you see? Yeah. My wife's called me up to the front. He's sticking stickers on their tits.
What of?
He was like, he's going, I can't remember your names. I'm just going to have to mix some shit up and stick it on your titty like that. And you're going, that's a classy intro
yeah,
line.
That's a great intro.
I mean, can you do that? I mean, would
I
that work?
I took a bunch of stickers to the Big Day Out.
And then you just go, sorry, can't remember your name.
Yeah.
I'm just going to have to put that on there.
Yeah.
That works?
A treat.
Wow.
And the names of the women are something special too. Cinnamon, cherry, oyster. There's a woman called Oyster.
No, there's not. Yeah.
She wasn't very happy to get that either. You can see again, can't that one be Oyster?
Why can't I be Cinnamon? It's like...
Yeah. Hey, we're going to say hello to Dion, who said that if you were in Hawaii, just called us up, you would be up-sarong'd. I think, I don't know.
I don't know, Dion.
It's better than hula skirted. That's just a repetition of the word skirt.
No, I thought we would be up grass skirted if we were in Hawaii.
Yeah, see,
if Elvis movies have taught me anything. But then I think in maybe Bali or something, you might be up-sarong'd.
Welcome back. Deadlift 2007, tackling the big issues.
Okay, I'm going to play some music.
What do you got?
I've got a song that sounds like it's going to start one way and then goes another way.
Ooh, there's a treat.
Yeah, 2, 3, 4.
And that's Franz Ferdinand. It's Get This Around the Nation on Triple M. Now all on at the same time everywhere.
But I can't say what time that is. Is that
11 to 1. It's 11 to 1 everywhere.
But you told me yesterday I couldn't say what time it was.
Yeah, but that's because sometimes 11 o'clock occurs at a different time in a different time zone, but it's still 11 o'clock.
All right, great.
Anyone still listening, Yuri?
I don't know.
Let's get up Talkback Mountain.
It needs a new theme. It needs a complete overhaul, that.
It does. We need to really...
I think so. Version 2.0.
We should bring back the 88 remix. That was very popular.
Love that.
Yeah.
What were you saying off here that someone's stolen a Thursday from you?
Yeah, I missed a whole Thursday. When I was away, I had tickets to go and see the New York Rangers on a Thursday.
Right.
Wednesday, fine. Did stuff. Went out. Saw a show that night. Something. Then Friday. A whole Thursday just went missing.
But you would have gained that on the way back, though, wouldn't you?
No, I mean, I was there.
Not some time zone
No, theft. No.
Oh. So what happened?
Don't know. Lost the tickets. No, I didn't get to use the tickets. Just didn't have Thursday. Wednesday straight through to Friday. Oh. People walk so fast in New York and people are so busy that some days
they just, the whole days just get taken out of the diary.
Did you do what I did when I went to New York? Just walk up the street singing and shouting nonsense as loud as possible. No one bats an eyelid.
I had a contest with myself of yes. what would make me turn around.
Right.
Okay. The guy with the parrot on his shoulder got nothing.
Nah,
right?
Not trying.
Exactly. The woman riding rollerblades, getting pulled by dogs, right, with a feather in her cap.
It's
no dice. It's so yesterday.
Sort of whimsical, but not really a head turner.
I try. She's trying.
Yeah.
The only guy that got, and he got everyone on the street, 12:30 at night, below freezing, a man in a one-piece leotard, Andre the Giant style, who probably weighed about 700 kilos with those flashing LA Gear sneakers from the mid-90s, just charging down Fifth Avenue, jogging.
Wild. But not saying nonsense to the air.
Nothing.
So I went three blocks. I just walked three blocks singing the sunny side of the street in a really bad Frank Sinatra impression. Not a single person
looked. Did you get
anyone? No one even batted an eyelid. It's just business as usual. It's like streaking. It's like being invisible. It's like being an invisible streaker.
No one cares.
Try it if you're going to New York. Yeah, what about celebrities? Did you see any celebrities?
Didn't see anyone.
No one, but everyone bumps into somebody in New York.
Didn't see anyone.
Not even a low level.
Nobody. Oh, the people playing basketball and the Rangers.
K-Fed? Surely, K-Fed.
Did you see K-Fed?
Will rap for food, surely.
Saw a guy with a great sign in a leotard again and a sign that said, "We'll wrestle for food."
Wild.
That was pretty good. But no celebrities, hardly any freaks.
Well, I'm looking for celebrity news in the
what's been going on?
Well, the new weekly this week has a whole sort of insert supplement. Called Inside the A-List, devoted to those rather creepy Olsen sisters who seem to be being floated as some kind of, you know, fashion icons, but frankly just look like a couple of skagged up badgers to me. That's just my opinion. And then you've got, look at this, a spread of them looking as freaky as you could imagine.
They never smile.
And then there's a quote. Mary Kate has spirit, taste, and modernity, says Karl Lagerfeld. Oh,
monster.
The monster. He is a monster.
I reckon one day he's just going to snap and just grow to 70 feet and just charge down Fifth Avenue, killing all and sundry.
And no one will care.
No one's going to bat an eyelid.
He's a Batman villain, Karl Lagerfeld.
He's bizarre.
What's with the thing right up here? Tying up the...
We'll bring it up with a fashion person, a fashionista.
John Cooper Clarke.
Great.
In the next hour.
Done.
He's a snappy dresser.
Done.
Who else?
If you're looking for something, a post-Christmas gift, I suggest you get the new idea and buy yourself a 25-centimetre long baby doll. It's so truly real. Three payments of $39.98, and look at that tone. A baby asleep in clothes that fits into your palm can be yours.
That looks almost as realistic as little baby Suri.
There's a Surrey version you can get.
That's kind of... Why would you want a tiny baby hold in your hand?
Well, it's got vinyl skin, open brackets, our exclusive formula, close brackets. Don't accept any of that dodgy vinyl skin that those others are selling.
But what... You know, what occasion is that the appropriate gift? Look, I've brought you a tiny replica baby.
Imagine the delicate realism of a real infant that you can almost cradle in one hand.
I don't want to imagine that. Why would I want to imagine that?
Tony, what do you have against delicate realism? You've been ragging on delicate realism for too long, Martin.
What are we doing here? We want to... Oh, look, this is the story. Okay, here's the weirdest celebrity story. It's not really a celebrity story. It involves a fireman called John Joseph Conway.
Hey, man. What's
another JJC right there.
JJC, what's
in New Delhi, he's checked into a hospital to have surgery to make himself look more like Bruce Willis.
Oh.
He's a fireman.
Wait a second.
He says, "I am a firefighter. I need to look the part. I wanted to improve my jawline."
Yeah.
Bruce Willis has a nice, strong jawline.
He does.
Now you're going, could that be achieved? Could you go in, have one op, come out looking like Bruce Willis? I'm not sure that this is something you want to read,
really?
If that's the case. Now recuperating from the three-hour-long surgery that cost him $2,000. $2,000? Sure, a lot of money. But nowhere enough to make you look like Bruce Willis, I would have thought.
How much does it cost to make me look like Bruce Willis? $2,000. How much for Jim Carrey? Okay, fine, that's good. How much for Richard Marsden? $50? I'll take it.
I'll take it.
Let's get a brick.
But Ian Marsden claims he's a Ewan McGregor lookalike.
That's the only celebrity that I've been told that I look like when I have a shaved head.
And a lot of people email the website and say there's no normal photo of you. You're always on the goon.
I was in the goon in one photo. In the caftan photo. Yeah. And then the other one.
We're going to have new photos taken for this
year.
We hate having your photos taken, so it'll probably happen around June.
Oh, I know.
Other radio shows already had them done before they've even gone to air.
Props, costumes, looks on their faces.
A giant telephone.
These are luxuries we can't afford.
All right, what are we saying today? Who would you pay $2,000 to look like?
Which celebrity you want to look like?
Yeah, maybe we should lose the $2,000 part.
Okay. Money's no option. But no, money's no, like, object, people.
Yeah.
Who do you really want to look like? And it can happen. Like, you will look like them. That's what we're saying.
Okay.
Can I bring up NXS after this?
Yeah, bring it up after this.
Right.
Music coming up. And give us a call, 1-333-53. Who are you going to look like after your surgery? Oh, that's Paul Kelly to her door here at Get This Around the Nation in the new time slot at the new length where we're saying who would you have surgery to look like? Fireman's gone in for a Bruce Willis. What have you got there, Ed?
NXS. Paul Kelly, great Australian artist. NXS,
yes.
Another great Australian artist.
Sure.
They are looking good. Look at that tone. You've got everything you want here. You've got JD, Captain Pout. Yeah. Then you've got the pirate.
That's a pirate. That's a nerd pirate.
And a lot of rock stars are getting pirated. You know, the guy from Thirsty Merc. Don't tell me he's not a buccaneer. Then it's kind of, where are we here? This is Eddie Izzard.
Yeah, that's a good Eddie Izzard.
Eddie Izzard in the middle. Then who was this guy?
I think that's the late Peter Brock.
Peter Brock.
Then you've got a nascent Doug Parkinson.
If David Hasselhoff and Jimmy Barnes had a child, that's probably what he'd look like. And then director of Clerks, Kevin Smith on the end.
Fantastic.
Tell me, that's got legs.
Get the NXS poster. Do your own lookalikes. Yeah, it's
fun. It's going to be up on the web for people to have a look at.
Richard Marsden is here pushing buttons. It's good to have him back for another year.
Oh, God, it was touch and go.
Oh, yeah. We nearly lost him to the shebang.
I know. Good program.
Marty was playing some big cards too.
No,
it's good to be back. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Oh,
diplomatic.
Where's the Talkback Mountain sound?
Hello, Nathan.
Yeah, good morning. How you going, fellas?
Excellent.
Good.
Who would you like to look like?
There was a man who I was held in great esteem. He was never short of a partner. I put it down to his good looks, and that's Ron Jeremy.
Oh, Ron Jeremy. So you'd like to look, what, facially more like Ron?
Oh, I think so, yeah. It's all about the face.
It's all about the face. He's a bizarre-looking cat.
That was the attraction, wasn't it, his looks?
Yeah, I think so. Have you gone for the mustache and the kind of sort of like sleazy, curly hair at the moment?
I've got that. I've got the overworked sweat glands. I just need to work on the pouch a little bit, I think. Under the chin.
And how many Ron Jeremy classics would you have in your library, sir?
I think I've got the whole collection.
Yeah, what's the Sergeant Peppers? And can you say it on air?
It's called Rear Admiral Pepper. Thank you so much, Nathan.
Stumped.
Hi, Ben. How are you?
Oh, I'm well, thank you.
Good, mate. Who would you like to look like?
I would actually like to have Kylie Minogue's ass.
Oh, on your own self?
Yes.
And what's your stature at the moment? Are you a large man or a small?
Yes, I am a large man.
So hang on a second. So you're over 6 foot, I'm guessing, right?
About 6 foot, yes.
Okay, so you're 6 foot, a well-built gentleman, and then you'd like to have a very small ass.
That would help, like, you know, on those long, lonely nights, you know?
Right, and you could maybe, if you're at a party or something, guys, check what I've had done. Nice golden hot pants there. Oh, what's going on there?
Is that Kylie's? It sure is, mate. Well spotted. That's a winner, Ben. You are onto something,
it's
my friend.
It's a talking point.
That's $2,000 well spent. Hello, David. How are you?
Hi, how's it going?
Really good, sir. Who would you like to look like?
Well, you know, first off, I'd just like to say nice crackle.
Look.
Because he would approve of that.
Let's see
I couldn't resist, please.
Fair enough.
First off, I wouldn't, you know, I thought maybe Fred Flintstone, but while I was on hold, I thought maybe Howard the Duck would be better.
Oh, Howard the Duck?
Who's that?
Haven't you seen Howard the Duck?
Yeah, it was a. It would have been.
Oh, is that Jason Alexander doing the voice?
Isn't Jason Alexander doing the voice? Isn't it Tim Robbins and?
Tim Robbins in. I'm not too sure if he does the voice. It might be hard doing two characters at once.
Yes, it was. It would have been. Ed worked at a video shop. Would have been out the front in the bins. I'm guessing pretty early on. Howard the Duck. In fact,
that was
it came out
scavenging through the bin.
In this country, they went. Oh, no one went to see Howard the Duck because they think it's about a duck. Mm. So for Australia, the name of Howard the Duck was actually changed to Howard, colon, a new kind of hero.
Right,
that's what they called it.
That's
here.
Better.
Important
that's
information.
Much more.
That's an example of...
Nice crackle.
Hey, oh, thank you, Guzzy.
Thanks, Guzzy, from wherever you are.
Who's next?
That's it.
Well, that's it.
Everyone else basically had more of a porn angle. Those were the cleanest that we could put to it. Thank you, Celia, working the phones.
Cecilia, I'll have
Cecilia.
You know.
Oh, dear.
She doesn't like the Celia.
No, look, it's hot in here, Tom. Yeah.
It is. It's like an aquarium.
You're just freaked out because the first time in 1 year and two shows, we're on time. How has this happened? We're actually running to time.
Get to the magazine.
Just
what
as well,
on?
There is a big second hour coming up and we'll be joined by, this is how seriously we take our music, John Cooper Clark.
Get this.
For Kylie, it's the latest in a long line of disappointments.
Brought to you by As Yet Nobody.
What I want, cause I can, if I don't, because I wanna be ignored by the stiff and the bored, because I'm gonna.
Oh, it's the leisurely second lunchtime hour of Get This Around the Nation. Myself, so Tony Mack, Nin Cavalli, Richard Marsden. Our guest, John Cooper Clark, is just moving into position.
Hi there.
We haven't officially introduced you yet, John, but could you just speak into the mic, because I just love that accent.
What, you want the level?
That's a
check in, yeah. Johnny Clark, the following tone is a reference tone recorded at our operating level.
That is fantastic.
Thank you very much.
That is beautiful.
You get the reference?
This man is going to be helping us have lunch today.
Tony went off.
Oh, look, the Richard Marsden Wall of Sound. People want to hear that again.
Right, good.
From last year, that may well be coming up.
Good, good.
And we'll be asking who's a snappy dresser. That's what we're talking about today. Yeah. Tackling the big ones here.
I
get this. It'll be Hinder. Mm. Lips of an Angel here at Get This, our second big hour.
Hinder.
Time. Well, Ed Cavalier's here. You can hear that. Richard Marsden, just give yourself a level on your new microphone.
Testing 1, 2.
Oh, doesn't he sound professional? It's beautiful. Please, a fake round of applause for our guest co-host in this hour. It's John Cooper Clark. Thanks for coming in, John.
He's a lovely fella.
Now, for people who listen to Triple M and might not have heard the work of John Cooper Clark, how would you describe what it is that you've been doing for, what, nigh on 25, 30 years?
Well, I've never been called upon to do so, but off the top of my head, what I'll be doing tonight is what I did at the Basement Club in Sydney, which is kind of unaccompanied poetry and a few gags.
And you've been on at the Big Day Out.
I'm simplifying it here.
Where did they have you at the Big Day Out?
We're in Lily World.
And how
which
does...
is a kind of enclosure within the enclosure.
And how does the poetry go down at the Big Day Out?
It's well, Melbourne the other day, as I expected, was the best yet.
Mm.
Melbourne being a more indoorsy kind of... I'm only guessing.
You know, you're right.
I'm judging by the weather.
Yeah, fair
it's
enough.
It's a more indoorsy kind of thing, isn't it, than the rest of Australia.
It's very indoorsy.
Which tends to be preoccupied with ebullient open-air pursuits like surfing and walking around.
I'm guessing you've not done a lot of that.
Going out.
Hey, John,
this is more like, you know, it's more like Manchester.
Is that where you're from?
Sea.
Is that the accent we're hearing, Manchester?
Yeah, I'm from Manchester.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Incidentally.
I've got a flyer here. I lived in Auckland in 1983. Have a look at that. That's a flyer for you in concert.
Oh, my God.
In 1983 at the Glue Pot Tavern. Have a look at that.
It's a cartoon, isn't it? I look like the Tasmanian Devil. Have you ever seen that guy? That Looney Tunes, yeah. Contemporary of Bugs Bunny and Foghorn Leghorn.
Who did you say that was, that last one?
Foghorn Leghorn.
Oh,
you know, the chicken. He's the best.
He's the big rooster.
What in tarnation are you doing, boy?
As Dave Graney said, he pleasures the widow hen.
He does.
Living in fear of a chicken.
That's his job.
Hey, you're being supported.
Chicken or schnook, in our oven, he'll look good.
Aren't you being supported by our friend Dave Graney and Claire Moore?
That's right. I suppose, what they are, the modern equivalent of Sonny and Cher.
Oh, I wouldn't
Paul
say
and
that.
Paula.
It's very hard. It's sort of a...
Oh, Les Paul and Mary Ford.
It's a bit of everything.
Nino Tempo and April Stevens.
I think you've got it now.
Mickey and Sylvia.
That's it. Absolutely. what I have here, yes, this flyer, and I went along and saw you, and you were performing at the Glue Pot Tavern in Auckland, and in those days, you'd get up in a dark suit and a thin tie, and you just had a reel-to-reel tape recorder on stage.
Oh, I don't use tapes anymore.
Don't you?
No, I've gone completely organic, you know.
So what's now?
Just me.
Just air backing you.
Just me and a load of dead air.
But you had this...
As they say in... did you use that term in radio in Australia?
Yes, we've got dead air scheduled for 25 past. Yeah. It's about a minute and a half. But it tests quite well in certain markets.
I had it planned for 5 minutes' time. There's a clock right behind your head there. I'm going to clam up.
Mocking us, that clock.
Any second now.
That's how it can turn it to face the wall if you could, Richard. We're sick of that clock. But here's what happened. You were performing on stage at the Glue Pot, and I was living there, and I was trying to get into comedy, and there was no live comedy at all in Auckland in those days. And the only way you could perform live comedy was as if you had a slightly musical act, and then you could get on stage supporting a band for 10 minutes.
Okay.
So what I decided to do was dress up as you. This was my first ever stage act.
The imposter.
Yeah. Dressed up as you, but I only did... mostly Eagle songs.
What, like spoken?
Yeah, it was in your style.
Welcome to the Hotel California.
No, it was more rolling down the road, trying to
take it to the limit.
Yeah, losing my low, Seven Women on My Mind. That works great as you.
How is that spoken?
I'm not going to
give us a demo.
Is the camera?
Give us a demo.
It was. You have to do it.
It was kind of like rolling down the road, trying to lose my low to get seven women on my mind. That stuff was killing. Right, the Eagles insulting. I feel insulting
saying it to
you.
That's a real good Californian accent. Real good Californian accent you've been cultivating there.
There's about seven accents in one. Yeah. But it was amazing how well it went down.
Really?
And I was thinking, maybe I should let John Cooper Clarke
maybe I should, and you were thinking, maybe I should ring Joe Walsh.
Tell him to go Mancunian. Zhuzh up some of his old gear. Look, we've got a lot of other things to ask you about, and we're certainly not going to insult you with impressions anymore.
Mm.
Well, I tell you, speaking of getting in touch with Joe Walsh, I've recently got in touch, because, you know, I've been doing this since the year, what I'm going to do tonight, and it's going to be, hopefully, you know, it's going to be entertaining. That's the plan anyway.
Sure.
But I got loads of plans. You know, it's going to be a big year for me. And that's just looking at it from one end. You know, there's a whole 11 months to go. But I think it's going to be massive.
What's it building to?
Oh, it's building. What am I doing over here? I should be over back in the UK, you know, furthering my...
No, but this is good. A little bit of time away. Let people miss you.
Yeah,
you know,
maybe
where's he gone? He's down in the colonies, you know, kicking ass.
Right. Well, anyway, there's loads of things happening. I've got. It's a pity I can't. You can't play my. They're not allowed to play my white labels of my rough mixes.
Does that surprise anybody?
No.
On account of their chain to a playlist.
Is it likely...
Call this rock and roll.
Is it likely that James Blunt would ever re-record, say, evidently Chicken Town or Twat?
I thought you were more likely that James Brown would record.
If Blunt ever punches one out...
I will fight to my last dying breath to prevent that happening. Honest, you know, he was... I mean, you know about playlists. That guy was on every 30 seconds in the UK.
James Brown?
No, James Blunt.
Imagine a world where...
If only it was the late sorely missed godfather of soul, I wouldn't have a problem with that.
You know, Sex Machine could be on every 5 minutes. I don't think too many people would be complaining. Have we got that now?
No.
We have got something. And we'll be back with more of John Cooper Clarke in just a moment. You ought to know that's Alanis Morissette here at Get This Around the Nation on Triple M, and unlikely as it may seem on Triple M, our co-host for this hour is John Cooper Clarke, the legendary poet from Manchester, author of this book here, 10 Years in an Open Neck Shirt. Has that been out of print for a long time?
Yeah, that's been out of print for 20 years more, That's in good condition.
I've been keeping it in good nick. That's in the plastic envelope at home.
Yeah,
nerd style. well.
Nerd style.
Only the best.
Turn
stuff,
the page with tweezers.
That's right. A handle.
Padded tweezers. Don't forget the pads on
that's
the
right.
end.
You know what? You want to tear the
one of those boxes.
Don't want to go ripping it or anything.
You handle nuclear waste with.
Yes, right, if only it was still available.
Oh, right? That's a great book. So
printed
many.
On, printed on top quality paper, each page numbered for your convenience.
What was. When did you last have an album out?
1982? Well, I think Sony brought out a kind of best of 3-4 years ago.
Yeah, another one.
And, apart from that, you know, it was a long, long time
ago. The one I had of yours was Snap, Crackle and Bop.
Well, they're reissuing that, actually. I'm glad you brought that up, because Sony are reissuing Snap, Crackle and Bop on account of, you know, The Sopranos? Do you get The Sopranos?
Yeah.
Top show, isn't it?
It sure is.
Well, in the next series, we've had Hollywood on the phone, and they want to use evidently chicken sound. You know that song?
I love evidently chicken sound
on the soundtrack of one of the episodes. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Will it just be under the end credits, or will it be?
That's where I imagine it will be on the end, on the closing credits, because that's when that's the one they vary, isn't it? Because the opening credits, it's the Alabama 3. Huh?
Yeah.
But that's a top track, isn't it?
They could be using it within the episode. They could be, you know,
maybe
somebody could
be on it. Maybe they'll be playing it at the Bada Bing.
That'd be nice.
People could be like stripping.
With a few pole dancers.
That could be great.
They've stripped to the Kinks before.
Well, it is might be seedy enough for that, isn't it? It's a seedy number, isn't it?
That's what they're looking for, clearly.
I guess so.
And
anyway, whatever. I'm so pleased about that.
Every time you pick up biographical information.
So now it's official. I'm the Da Capo di Tutti Capi of the poetry world.
You certainly sound like it.
Yeah.
Can you say if you've mastered any terminology that you.
You just heard it. I've been a crash course.
Yeah, you've got to say that you're taking someone to the tar pits because you haven't received your envelopes. Apparently, that's the kind of.
You try to get away and they pull you back in.
We need a Manchester version of The Sopranos.
That'd be nice.
It's Sopranos.
We could call it the Contraltos.
Whenever we check out your biographical information, if that's a word, people love to point out that you supported the Sex Pistols. Is that true?
Oh, yeah, all them people, yeah. Yeah. Long time ago, though. You don't want a roll call, do you, or anything?
No, we're not looking for a roll call. But it's just that thing
but
where...
The Sex Pistols, The Clash, yeah.
It's amazing Slaughter how many...
Slaughter and the Dogs. I work with a lot, and I was working with them last year as well. They go from strength to strength. In fact, they were always the coolest band in the world. The Fall.
Oh, yeah. The Fall's still
Love
going.
Oh,
Marky Smith.
Strength to strength. You want to hear the new stuff, man.
Oh, look.
Really?
They're on fire.
Have we got any Fall coming up?
You've got to play them.
I'm playing sure.
Put them on.
It's the second
Put
hour.
Them on.
We could bash them on. But what I was leading
Never mind
to,
the playlist.
I'm into CB.
Tie it to a rock and throw it through that window. This is rock and roll.
It will be. So, yes, that's obviously always mentioned in your bio. And then something that isn't often mentioned in your bio, you did commercials for Sugar Puffs. Is that true?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
You were like the front man for a breakfast
cereal. I was that advertiser.
And what was the catchphrase? Like, what did they have you say?
It's monsterific.
Monsterific?
Monsterific.
And were you with a monster on screen?
I was with this giant orange sort of gunk.
Right.
That is the honey monster.
Ah. Because I was telling Ed, when I was in New Zealand, I was so out of work that I was 1 week away from auditioning to be the cookie bear for Hudson's Biscuits.
Oh, you want to snap that up. It's the only money that makes sense.
But I would have to practice saying the word, it's scrum-diddly-umptious. Oh. How could,
Ned Flanders, just think Ned. Yeah. Isn't it? Think, how would Ned do it?
It's scrum-diddly-umptious.
That's good,
the
sir.
One. That's pretty the good. One.
What was I thinking? What Shut am up. I doing here?
Shut up, Flanders.
We've got John Cooper Clarke impersonating Homer Simpson.
Yeah, why not?
Welcome to Get This. Yeah. Hey, we want to talk about sartorial elegance. I call it sartorial.
I know you do.
That's what I'm like.
And you practice.
Is that because you bleed for your look?
You kind of do. To your monthly... trainings, is it?
Well, I have hemochromatosis, so I literally do
oh my God,
receive a bleeding. At least.
Oh, no.
Me and my wife just both like have it. A time of the month. It's fantastic. If we can sync them up, it's great. That's a happy marriage.
There's empathy for you.
But we're not here to talk about obscure genetic disorders.
No.
We're here to talk about clothing, fancy, snappy dress-style clothing. You know, nobody dresses snappier than this man.
Extremely well-dressed.
John Cooper Clarke. Let's do that next on Get This.
Get This.
I think there'll be a lot of people out there who are very quick to judge, and they'll say, don't go there.
Brought to you by As Yet Nobody.
It's Get This. It's Around the Nation on the Triple M Network at this new time. It's our leisurely lunch hour. John Cooper Clarke is with us, telling us that he used to have his own radio show.
Yeah, that's right. For a team called BBC Greater Manchester Radio, GMR, GMR.
And what was your time slot? Where were you sandwiched?
I think it was seven. It was either 7 till 8 or 8 till 9.
And who was on either side of you?
Well, it was just me and my friend Ricky Goldstraw, who, as I say, is responsible for all the production values on my forthcoming album. You know, all guitars, harmonica, banjo, everything, lyrics even. So it's a big team effort, and it's a real shame you can't play my records here this afternoon, because it's totally different from anything that I've
But we like to create. We're creating sizzle for the album. People will be so intrigued.
Sizzle, yeah.
They'll want to go and bite into it.
Plate with it
as soon as we're finished.
Put them on the hot plate with it. Yeah, but I wasn't. You know, there was just two of us, and we were kind of outnumbered by BBC staff who were, you know, whether our show's any good or not, still coming to work on Monday morning. You know, they really didn't care. In fact, it was on the last day we discovered that we had telephones where people could ring in. You know, which was, you know, we thought, you know, we must be really unpopular, you know what I mean? Why does nobody ring us, you know what I mean?
You've got to solicit.
And then we realise, you know, that when there is actually a red light on the phones, you know, if you want them switched on. And the guy, you know, who hated me because, you know, he was a rugby player and, you know, and he took an instant, you know, obviously he hated me and he didn't tell us anything beyond what we asked. You know,
really?
There was like, if you didn't ask, you didn't find out. You know,
and what was, who were you on after?
He kept his counsel. He was the strong, silent type.
What was what was your lead-in program?
Pardon?
What was the show on before you?
Oh, yeah, we were sandwiched between two programs called It's Kosher, and then it was us, and then it was Gay Chat. So we were the buffer zone. Between two very different worlds.
You mentioned your album. Who are you about to go on tour with? You tell us, Lily Allen?
Oh, yeah, Lily Allen. We got 11 dates with Lily back in the UK, and I know her dad.
Keith Allen?
Yeah.
Keith Allen from the comic strip, for those with even longer memories.
No, actually, no, I met Lily on the... we recently toured with, well, you know, three, 4 years ago. Oh. She is on the Big Day Out, yeah, as it happens. But 3 or 4 years ago, we toured with the late Joe Strummer and his band, the Mescaleros.
Yes.
And we met up, and that's where we met up with his violin player, Timon Dog, who goes back with Joe a long ways, you know. And he sort of played a bit of impromptu violin with me and Ricky on those dates. And we kind of, you know, got chummy about it. And... and now he's involved with these forthcoming records as well. We did Glastonbury the year before last with this stuff.
So how big a crowd?
It was in what they call the acoustic tent. I think it was 1,000. I think it was 1,000 capacity, you know, and it kind of overflowed a bit, you know. And there was a lot of interest. But it's not just, as I say, I can't stress enough, it's not entirely my baby. It's entirely a group thing. You know, and, you know, if I write lyrics that aren't suitable to the music, you know, they won't give me the riff.
So you've got a band to answer to now.
You're not having our music for that kind of stuff, you know what I mean? Go away, must do better, you know what I mean? So it's really kind of sharpened me up a bit, you know what I mean? And dragged me kicking and screaming into the 19th century.
And what is this album going to be called?
We haven't got a title for it yet. It's all kind of white, you know, kind of demos, but, you know, pretty good. You know, we've been doing it on computers at home, you know, no producer required, but hopefully we'll get it out this year.
Ed, could you give this man a demonstration of the kind of music that you're capable of?
I think it's probably going to be synth and high pitched
singing tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, okay, great. It's pretty impressive. Take great, it away, Ed Cavalier.
2, 3, 4.
There we go.
Well, oh, how do you do that?
Sorry, guitar.
He's very
That's
good.
Silly of me.
Who's that about?
Thank you very much, Ben. Right. Work. Be good, Johnny. Here, at Get This Around the Nation. It's Triple M, and John Cooper Clark is with us. We've been talking about his music.
They've nailed my feet to the floor so I don't go off mic this time.
We love going off mic on this show.
So,
I'm just going to do the whole show from over.
Come on, Tone. That's back wild. To the mic.
Well, let's talk about clothing because we've talked about your music and your upcoming works. But
we haven't talked enough about my upcoming works and my music, which I'm plugging before the event. I've got to know that you love me.
But we do love you, and we love that you write for something called The Chap.
Oh, The Chap,
What is The Chap?
The Chap, it's a... What can I say? It's a style oblique etiquette magazine.
It's online?
For... it's available in bookshops in the UK.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And what's the kind of... what
Well, the house style is kind of mid-50s, you know. It's aimed at the kind of Terry Thomas, Leslie Phillips kind of cad man.
Oh, the English cad.
The English cad.
And what is the cad look these days?
Well, the usual, you know, pencil-thin moustache, gap in the teeth, Tattersall check shirt, cravat.
Cravat.
Yellow driving gloves and an MG sports car.
Okay.
And who
suede
else?
Shoes if you're feeling really rakish.
Who else writes for The Chap?
Gap in the teeth. That's the bit I like.
John
they
Waters.
They have guest writers. They've had John Waters, Leslie Phillips, Edward Tudorpole.
Yeah.
You know, Eddie?
Oh, yes.
From
Great Rock and Roll
of a Thousand Men.
Yeah, and Great Rock and Roll Swindle.
That's right,
I think he played Spike Milligan in that Peter Sellers film.
They've also featured style tips from the likes of Ian Starr of TV's Lovejoy McShane.
Oh, from Deadwood.
Ah, right.
In Deadwood, yeah.
He is very stylish now.
Manchester lad.
Al Swearingen, he's a snappy dresser.
He's a very snappy.
I wouldn't want to suggest otherwise. But let's talk about favourite items of clothing. Do you have one, John, that's like a sort of talisman?
Anything that isn't dirty.
Oh, I hear that.
You know, I'm living out of a suitcase at the moment. Yep. You know, I've got... So, really, I can't be that particular.
Magic? Do you have a magic item of clothing, you Kevin?
Thank God this is radio and not TV, actually. They said I was a snappy dresser, but really, they're being very kind.
Oh, but for the standards set in this room...
I'm still
in
my pyjamas. Don't listen to them, Reed.
They're very nice pyjamas,
extremely nice pyjamas.
What have you got, Ed?
I still think that my T-shirt, cheerleading over my boyfriend on the front, ... I don't think so, ! on the back. That's probably still my favourite. It ripped while I was away, but still looks good with a hole in the shoulder.
I'm still sporting the occasional Bar Jars T-shirt.
Mainly you wear Mick Malloy T-shirts.
Well, I did once. That's been slightly exaggerated and kind of embarrassing. Hale wearing a Pace T-shirt.
Yeah, I know. So you've got a Bar Jars T-shirt.
I've got a Bar Jars T-shirt that I wear occasionally because I'd like to think that one day Bar Jars will become like, Lacoste or...
Really?
Or Lagerfeld. Just some kind of fancy label that will take off. Would you wear an item by Bar Jars, John Cooper Clark?
What am I getting? I'm getting from this kind of urban surf.
I'm only guessing. That's good.
That's a great description. Urban surf.
I can see you in that. I'm heading for a kind of medieval monk look.
Oh, is that really what's the next go?
Yeah, robes. One size fits all.
Really? Robes and rope?
That's right, with a big hood.
That's good stuff.
With a big hood. I won't be allowed in the shopping mall, but, you know, there's always a price to pay.
Get up cloaked.
Do you have that here?
Up cloaked? There'll be no up cloaking on this show.
Do you have that ban on hooded sweatshirts in shopping malls?
I've heard about it, but we don't have it here.
They wouldn't dare introduce that here.
No.
There'd be nobody left. Be Dawn of the Dead at your local mall.
About you, Rich?
Well, I have a really weird superstition about, for some reason, red Explorer socks. You know those Explorer socks? Yeah. For some reason, I always wear red, except for today. But I've got about 14 on rotation. Because I had a pair of red Explorer socks, and then someone saw me wear them, and then they got them for me for a present. And so I, and then people keep on buying them for me as a present.
What's the schedule? Was it a 2-week rotation?
No, they're every day. I've only got two pairs that aren't red. It's very strange.
Green? I've seen you with green ones.
No, I don't think you have you?
What are the other colours in?
I mean, there's all different. There's a rainbow.
No, what have you got?
I've got red. All red socks except for one pair of white and blue.
Okay,
white.
Fascinating.
White.
Essentially, we're
white socks.
White socks for sneakers.
We are listing colours.
Oh, I see the sport. The sport.
Yeah, when you're.
Oh, right. Afternoon. I was thinking with a suit then.
We are listing colours. That is not
radio.
Quality radio. Let's get the listeners involved. Call up, speak to John Cooper Clark, a legend certainly in this studio, and tell us about your magic item.
Right.
The piece of clothing you can't leave the house without. That's the sort of thing we're chasing, isn't
right.
it? Yeah. Do we want to put a ban on acid wash right now?
No. Let it go.
Hypercolour. Okay.
Blue sky.
No, but I'm going to put this out there. Well done, Rich. If anyone's got a hypercolored T-shirt they think will fit me, don't care if it still works, probably doesn't, I will swap them anything they want.
Right.
Anything they would like, they can have. So I need a hypercolored
T-shirt. The phone in has been hijacked by Ian Cavalier attempting to fill his wardrobe. Call us now, 133353.
Get this.
It's the drug of choice in the community at the moment, from Mildura to Lakes Entrance and from, say, Wodonga through to Warrnambool. They're everywhere.
Brought to you by As Yet Nobody.
It's John Cooper Clark. That's who's with us on Get This Today around the nation on Triple M. Unlikely as it may seem.
Is that what it's called? Get This Today? Is that what the show's
called? It's just called Get This, but we can add today if you'd like it that way.
It's good, isn't it? It's got a note of urgency about it.
I wish the program did. We're meeting snappy dressers amongst our listeners today. Who have we got?
Darren. Darren. Talk me through it, Darren. What have we got?
I'm unlucky enough to have a hypercolour singlet.
Oh my goodness!
Now, Darren, what colour does it start? What colour does it start out being?
Starts as a white and a green.
Okay, well, where does it go?
And unfortunately, this is why I don't wear it. It goes pink.
Darren.
Yes.
What do you want for that singlet?
No, I don't know. What have you got?
I'm going to talk to you off air during the song. We can do some pretty serious bargaining.
Yeah.
Because I must have it.
Sorry about this. John, this was meant to be a parade of sartorial elegance. It's turned into bargain hunt with Ed Cavalier.
all of a sudden, we're on eBay.
Yeah. All right, we have to play a song now.
Darren, stay on the line. We're going to go to a song.
And then we are going to meet the snappiest dressers in Australia, the real ones. They're all lined up and ready to go. Here we go. There's... Thank you. Bernard Fanning here at Get This Around the Nation. John Cooper Clark is co-hosting for this hour. He's a snappy dresser. Let's meet some more. Who have we got, Ed Gavely?
Hi, Brett. How are you?
G'day, guys. How are you?
Really good, mate. What have you got? What's your prized possession?
Well, I've got a Matrix-style long coat. It's like Keanu 3-4 in The Matrix, except it's big, bushy and beige.
Beige is good. Beige is good.
I wear it all the time.
It's the age of beige.
Hey, Brett, when was the last time you took it out?
Actually, a few days ago in 40-degree weather.
And, and nothing underneath, or...?
No, I have clothes on underneath. I have, like, you know, pants and a matching T-shirt that's also beige. But, no, I just love it. It's, everyone else, all of my friends hate it, but I love it. They think nobody dresses like that anymore, but no, I look...
why you should keep doing it, Brett. Have you thought about a beige hat as well, with a feather or something?
Beige it up,
Brett, if John says the directive. Beige it up, you know, Brett, you know, he knows these things.
Beige it up, good style.
Beige against the machine. That's what it is.
It's the colour of every background.
Keep them coming.
Hello, Tim. How are you?
Hey, how you going?
Really good, mate. What have you got?
I've got a Metallica T-shirt I've had since primary school.
Oh, well done.
Wonderful.
Oh, well, yeah.
Still fitting?
Yeah, just barely.
Really?
You're not getting the sort of the muffin tops happening?
Not yet, mate. A bit more beer and I probably will have, though.
And Tim, do you ever get props for it? Like, if you're ever at a gig and do people recognise it as a really kind of like an old school original Metallica T-shirt?
They do, actually, yeah. It's quite cool. Especially when I went to Fear Factory, I was getting thumbs up everywhere, mate.
Thumbs up?
What album era is it?
It's Ride the Lightning.
Oh, wow.
Classic rock, mate.
Have you worked with Metallica, John Cooper Clark?
No, I haven't, but I do have one question. Does it have the tour dates on the back?
No, it doesn't.
That's always good. Who did you tell us you're working with next, Sean?
I got some work coming up with Damon Albarn, you know.
From Blur.
Gorillaz. Gorillaz, and now The Good, The Bad and The Queen. He's working with Paul Simon on of The Clash.
You know? Is there anyone you haven't worked with or would like to work with?
Peter Andre?
Peter, I mean, is it Take a Number with Peter Andre?
That'd be good.
You don't get I'm a celebrity, get me out of here.
No. It's not that bad.
It's filmed in Australia, but you don't actually get the programme.
That's
a shame, because, you know, that's where Peter met Jordan. Yeah.
You know how countries sometimes make something that they'll export to another country, but we don't want that rubbish here?
Yeah.
You know, like a certain beer.
It's not rubbish. Yeah. It's like Big Brother, but in a jungle. It's terrific. What could possibly go wrong?
Who's snappy?
Scott, last of all, how are you, sir?
G'day, how you going?
Really good. What have you got?
Mate, what I've got is a pair of black sort of silky jocks. these things have special powers. I do Olympic weightlifting and powerlifting, and I've set Australian records and Victorian records wearing these things.
Weightlifting records?
Really?
Yeah, I only ever wear them when I'm competing.
Yeah.
And there's two other things with them. They seem to promote the Matt Shervington look.
Oh, good, good.
And finally, I went to Canada a couple of years ago for the World Championships, and I left me jocks in Australia, and I bombed out.
There it is.
Right.
They're mystical. They must just be something special.
Hey, Scott, how did you come across them? Like, had you tried other pairs of jocks that just weren't working, and you finally came across the silk ones?
Yeah, well, it harkens back. I remember when Alan Jones won the World Formula One Championship in 1980, and he talked about his lucky red jocks.
Uh-huh.
Well, the first time I set a record and won a comp, I had these black jocks on, and I thought, this is it.
Do you think the other Alan Jones has lucky jocks?
The guy on the radio.
Yeah, with a flag-waving vent.
He might.
I don't know, mate.
He doesn't want to speculate. Good work, Scott.
So, Scott, you're saying if any young people are listening thinking of getting into weightlifting, the secret is magic underpants.
Silky sort of black jocks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, Scott.
You've got to get that Matt Shervington thing going.
Yeah, I know. Well, keep the judges distracted.
Can you explain that to John Cooper Clarke?
Well, yeah, the Matt Shervington reference.
Scott, how would you describe the Matt Shervington look?
How would I?
Yeah.
Yeah, meat and two veg.
Okay, say no more. You're talking undercrackers.
Thank you to everyone.
Thanks to all our fashionistas today.
So what have we got? We asked for snappy dressing. We got weightlifting silky jocks and a beige matrix jacket and a Metallica t-shirt from primary school. Fantastic.
If you want to see some snappy attire and hear some great poetry and be slightly blown away, then you might want to pop down to the National Theatre in Melbourne in St Kilda tonight.
Yep.
And see John Cooper Clarke, supported by Dave Graney and Claire Moore. And
if please do this.
You've got to do that.
And if you're at the Adelaide or Perth Big Day Out,
yes,
both of them,
go along to Lily World
and
see that one guy playing an instrument he made himself, which is incredible. And then John Cooper Clarke,
yeah, brilliant. Friday, Adelaide Big Day Out, and Perth. Sunday. Not actually heard in Perth.
But if you want to see me, it's much easier to go to the National Theatre tonight than it is to go all the way to Perth. So if you're in any way interested, please.
And check out the secondhand bookshops for this out-of-print work, 10 years in an open neck shirt. That is a classic.
But if you miss that one, don't worry. There'll be another one on the back of it any day now. Bye, kids.
More gear coming. Thank you, John. Thank you, everybody who called up. And I think our key phrase today was up-kilted. And we'll be back tomorrow with Greg Fleet, hopefully. And it's all thanks to, as yet, nobody.
Now it's all out and you know.
Shocking horror, another cover-up.